The text is the gospel reading from St. Luke. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion servant whom his master valued highly was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with him. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Here ends the text. Pentecost is a season of growth. The pyramids aren't the deep green of late summer or old growth, but the bright green of spring's new growth. Our text has growth sci-fi style. In science fiction, space travelers regularly have one of the crew become pregnant unexpectedly, bearing a baby within hours and growing through adulthood in days. We start with the centurion's first plea for Jesus to heal his beloved servant. This is not the word for heal. King James only translates it one time that way, as does the New American Standard. What it literally means is bring safely through. And the form here indicates that the servant desperately wants for this to happen, but it doesn't indicate that he knows Jesus can do it. The slave was about to die, and the centurion just wants Jesus to help him make it through the night so his body can do the rest. Luke, being a doctor, is very precise in his use of medical words. He never uses the word the centurion does to mean completely healed. He uses this word as the doctors of the time did, to escape the dangers of a disease, to get through an attack. Even at times, he uses it with the idea of impaired health or injury to some part of the body remaining. Now, this is where we often are. We want just a little help from our friend Jesus to get by our medical, mental, spiritual crisis. Two things are at work here. First, we don't want Jesus rooting around in the rest of our lives. We know exactly what the problem is, and we just need to be gotten over this particular hump. We want help with this one particular thing. As far as we're concerned, that's the only problem we have. Second, all we expect from Jesus is to get us through the crisis and make us somewhat better. We don't think he has more to give or that we need more from him. Well, it doesn't take God taking on human flesh and blood, let alone being born under the law, keeping that law, and being damned and dying to get us through a crisis. This is the Mormon understanding of how Jesus saves. He reaches down into the pit where you are and he pulls you up. This is a limited understanding of your real problem. Oh, you have one, but it's small. Sure, you're in a crisis now, but if Jesus just gets you through it, well, you're good to go. The next step to growth, well, it's a big one. It's like the century plants on Avenue F. With all this rain, they've grown from 0 to 15 feet in weeks. The next time the centurion speaks of Jesus helping a slave, he does use the common word for heal that the doctors of that day used. And he uses it in the imperative. Now, don't misunderstand. He's not commanding Jesus, but confessing what a word from Jesus must do. A little background will help you make the leap in growth that the centurion does here. The text says that Jesus had finished saying all of this. The all this is the Sermon on the Mount. The text also says the centurion heard of Jesus. Go home and read chapter 6. It ends with the power of Jesus' words to withstand even the greatest crisis of life, and that's death. The centurion realizes that this man, Jesus, has the power and authority to heal by just a word. That's what he says to Jesus. There's no need for you to come to my house, which would be defiling to a Jew. But on the absolute contrary, just say a word, and he must be healed, my dear slave. Now, you Lutherans have grown up singing every single year of your life this thought in a mighty fortress. You've grown up singing boldly, confidently, lustily, that one little word can fell the old evil foe who means deadly woe, who has deep guile and great might, who has no equal on earth. One little word from Jesus and your biggest hurt must be healed. Your blackest fear must be dissipated. Your lowest feeling must be elevated. Understand, we're not talking about being brought through, gotten over the hump, and able to live to fight another day. We're talking cured. We're talking healed today. Confessing he must be healed, well, that's a huge growth spurt from, oh, that you should pull my slave through. But this isn't just Pentecost growth, it's sci-fi style. Science fiction is mind-blowing, so allow me. Did Jesus sweat blood in Gethsemane so you could be cured of blood cancer in this life? Was a crown of thorns jammed down on his holy head so that your unholy head would never be clouded with, have clouded thoughts, sad thoughts, or fearful ones? Did Jesus go the painful, hellish path of the cross to keep people out of hospitals or out of hell? What I am saying is there is something better than being cured. Better than being healed. The sensory plants of the soul needs to grow not inches but feet until it pokes through the clouds of this life and sees life, death, sickness, disease, healing, curing, and health from God's point of view, from above. Ready, set, grow. Grow this Pentecost in a sci-fi style. You know how you mark kids' growth by lines on the door jamb? Growth can be marked in the two words the centurion uses and the one word Luke uses by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Luke is a medical doctor, and doctors don't use medical terms imprecisely. The centurion first wants that Jesus should pull his slave through and let the body's ability to fight the disease take over. Then, realizing this man has power and authority like no other man, he is certain that Jesus can just say a word and the slave must be healed, must be cured. That's where he stopped, and we probably want to as well. What higher good can this puny mind of mine think of than a person being cured of cancer, healed of crippling mental problems, restored to a health thought lost? I can't get any higher than that, but the Spirit does. When the centurion's men returned to him, they found the servant well, and the word indicates the state is ongoing. Well is really too weak of a translation. Whole or completely healed, they go in the right direction, but they don't go far enough. Perfect health goes farther, but it veers toward a wrong sense of health. Of the 12 times this word is found in the New Testament, King James never translates well, but 6 times sound, and the rest are either be sound, be whole, whole, wholesome, be in health, and my favorite and the most accurate, safe and sound. Jesus doesn't just heal for a lifetime, he makes sound. Germaphobes rejoice. Our word hygiene and hygienic come from this Greek word. This word brings us all the way home. This gets us far above our best thoughts, our earthly wisdom, even our wildest imagination. We reach this point and we have grown sci-fi style from just wanting to get by with a little help from our friend Jesus to redemption of every part of our being. We preach the hygienic point that Jesus took on flesh and blood to scrub flesh and blood clean of sin, of death, and of the power of the devil. The stench of vile sin does not hang about us. The rot of decomposition doesn't waft around us. The sulfurous smell of the devil, which is guilt, doesn't linger in our air. No, the smell of germ X does. Not that stuff tainted with perfume or sticky lotion. The pure, clean, fresh smell of 62% alcohol and nothing else. Breathe deep, not the gathering gloom where watch lights fade from every room, where lonely men cry for love, where senior citizens wish they were young. No, breathe deep. The forgiveness, life, and salvation that God took on flesh and blood in a virgin's womb in order to give to flesh and blood men who were sick unto death with mortal pain. I'm not telling you that I know that this sick slave came out of his deadly sickness a believer, forgiven, saved. I am telling you that this is the direction the Spirit wishes you to grow. Grow out of just wanting to make it through the night of sickness, loneliness, worrisomeness, or fearfulness. Grow out of just wanting to be healed in this life so you can get on with the slow business of dying. Grow to wholeness, to soundness, to the hygiene of holiness and righteousness that is the new man created in the likeness of Christ Jesus. And stop believing that it's feeling, a feeling that you're after. No, it's a reality that you're getting. Soundness, wholeness, holy hygiene is what your Lord Jesus wants you to grow into today, now. This is what the prodigal son at last came home to in the Father's house. That's what the servant tells the disgruntled elder son who doesn't even know he needs healing. And the servant says to him, "Your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." This is the same word used here. In our story, which is no parable, the perfect Lamb of God carrying the sins away the sins of the world was slaughtered, sacrificed, so that we could be safe and sound. But again, we're not just talking growth, we're talking Pentecost growth, and this in science fiction style. This last word not only refers to wholeness, soundness of body and soul, but to sound doctrine. In fact, 7 of the 12 times that it's used in the New Testament, it refers to doctrine. And 2 more times, it refers to the faith which is whole and sound because it's rooted in sound doctrine. This concept, sound doctrine, that virtually all but confessional churches distance themselves from, which virtually all but confessional churches mock the possibility of, and have no desire to grow in or towards, this is the real soundness that the Spirit points us to. In 2 Timothy 1, he says, "Retain the standard of sound words." In Titus 1, the Spirit says, "Speak the things that are befitting sound doctrine." And in 2 Timothy, the Spirit solemnly warns that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And finally, in 3 John, the Spirit links bodily and spiritual health, saying, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in sound health, just as your soul prospers. Science fiction growth stories usually go one of two ways. The first is the rapid aging to death. Think of the scene where the body decays to ashes in seconds. The other way is to grow out of the body into pure energy and then disappear. This is the growth Eastern religions like Buddhism and Hinduism hope for. This is not the growth we hope for or are given. No, the holy hygiene we receive in word and sacrament cleanses us from all sins in body and soul and redeems this body and soul so that we grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ to live soundly, completely, eternally in a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.